Welcome to our study of Romans chapter 5. Having introduced God's grace given to both Jew and Gentile who will trust like Abraham did, chapter 5 starts with "so," indicating that the argument continues across the chapter break. Notice too that the next two verses also start in this way. There's "also," and then there's "but not only that." Paul is building up to increasingly great implications. Verse 1. "So, we have come to be considered righteous by God because of our trust. Let us continue to have shalom with God through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah." Verse 2. "Also, through him, and on the ground of our trust, we have gained access to this grace in which we stand. So let us boast about the hope of experiencing God's glory." Verse 3. "But not only that, let us also boast in our troubles, because we know that trouble produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And this hope does not let us down, because God's love for us has already been poured out in our hearts through the Ruach HaKodesh who has been given to us." The Ruach HaKodesh is the Holy Spirit. Ruach meaning wind or spirit. Paul then emphasizes that the means by which God has achieved this righteousness for us is through Christ. And just a reminder here, the word Christ is from the Greek Christos, which is a translation of the Hebrew Moshiach, meaning the Anointed One. So Christ is not Jesus' surname, he's not Mr. Christ, he is Yeshua, God's Anointed One. Back to the text, verse 6. "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, the Messiah died on behalf of ungodly people. Now it is a rare event when someone gives up his life, even for the sake of somebody righteous, although possibly for a truly good person, one might have the courage to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that the Messiah died on our behalf while we were still sinners. Therefore, since we have now come to be considered righteous by means of his bloody sacrificial death, how much more will be delivered through him from the anger of God's judgment?" Notice there "how much more." This is what is called in Hebrew a kal vachomer argument. It means "how much more," and this is common in Jewish teaching. Look out for them in Jesus' teaching. Then he goes straight into another kal vachomer argument as he builds his case. Verse 10. "For if we were reconciled with God through his son's death when we were enemies, how much more will we be delivered by his life now that we are reconciled? Not only will we be delivered in the future, but we are boasting about God right now because he has acted through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, through whom we have already received that reconciliation." Verse 12. Here is how it works. That's almost a paraphrase, the expression equivalent to "wherefore" in the King James Bible. Apparently the Greek is "dia," a primary preposition denoting the channel of an act, through. So that's the meaning of "here's how it works." Here is how it works. It was through one individual that sin entered the world, and through sin, death. And in this way, death passed through to the whole human race, inasmuch as everyone has sinned. So Paul is expressing the bleakness of our position before God started his salvation process. Verse 13. "Sin was indeed present in the world before Torah was given, but sin is not counted as sin where there is no Torah." Paul starts another development with a reminder that the role of Torah is to identify sin. "Nevertheless, death ruled from Adam until Moses, even over those whose sinning was not exactly like Adam's violation of a direct command. In this, Adam prefigured the one who was to come." Paul uses parallelisms and "how much more" arguments to emphasize or contrast God's solution to our problem. "But the free gift is not like the offence. For if because of one man's offence many died, then how much more has God's grace," that is, the gracious gift of one man, Yeshua the Messiah, overflow to many. No, the free gift is not like what resulted from one man's sinning. For from one sinner came judgment that brought condemnation. But the free gift came after many offences and brought acquittal. For if, because of the offence of one man, death ruled through that one man, how much more will those receiving the overflowing grace, that is, the gift of being considered righteous, rule in our life through the one man, Yeshua the Messiah? In other words, just as it was through one offence that all people came under condemnation, so also it is through one righteous act that all people come to be considered righteous. For just as through the disobedience of one man many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the other man many will be made righteous. Verse 20 and 21 have another reminder of the role of Torah, to identify sin and pave the way for grace. And the Torah came into the picture so that the offence would proliferate, but where sin proliferated, grace proliferated even more. All this happened so that just as sin ruled by means of death, so also grace might rule through causing people to be considered righteous, so that they might have eternal life through Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord. This section we just read could well be rewritten as a table with the contrasted statements opposite each other. That would be a good exercise. So we come to the end of chapter 5. Paul moves on from trust. He moved on to consider that we must maintain this trust through troubles, but that God's grace is able to bring us through because God's love is poured into us. He started using how much more arguments to emphasise how great is the power of Yeshua's sacrifice, and that it is every way sufficient to deal with the sin that Adam brought upon us all. And chapter 5 ends with a reminder that the Torah serves to point out sin and our need of grace.